on ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I have bad news, Floyd.
Okay.
Management has told me it is illegal for me to bet against the Titans.
That's fine. I've got Chris's number. We can do it after the show.
But if we do that after the show, we can't talk about it on the show.
No.
But
as long as money exchanges hands, that's all we care about.
I am convinced that the Titans are going to lose to the Buccaneers tomorrow in a meaningless preseason game. Is everybody okay with that? If I'm convinced the Titans are going to lose tomorrow? Ian, do you think the Titans are going to lose the preseason game tomorrow?
I have no idea.
Floyd?
No, Titans are going to win.
Why?
It's a home game.
Are you supposed to win your home game?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like the WWE?
It's the opener, yes, absolutely. The opener here in town. They'll win it.
There'll be 42,000 rocking fans there tomorrow night for the first half that are excited to cheer
this,
the team on to victory.
If there's 42,000, that'll be a lot more than that. So most of these other games. Look at that.
It's like a baseball game. And that's New England. And they're playing the Eagles.
Yeah. There's nobody.
Like I said, it's like those Major League Baseball games. But, again, one of the big things that it hinges on is the fact that I think the Titans starters, like if the Titans starters were to play the Bucs starters, I would not know who's going to win. I would probably lean towards the Titans, although with the injuries to the Titans, I may have to lean Bucs. I'm not totally sure. But one of the big things is Mariota. And one question I kept hearing everybody ask Titans players and the coach was, how much are you going to play the starters in the preseason game? Or they'd ask the players, has anyone told you how much you're going to play in the preseason game? And, of course, all the players and the coaches, no. They don't know yet. How much do you think Mariota should play tomorrow?
I think he should play, at least a quarter, four series, just roughly.
When do you decide that you've seen enough from your starting unit to take him out of the game?
Well, if they play three series and the score is 21-0, then I've seen enough.
Good job, Marcus.
Yeah. They can come off and sit by me. But by the same token, if you're thinking, okay, we're going to play four series and the first three, you're three and out, and we may have to go to five, maybe six.
Well, I like six, but
Tom
I don't
Brady
like six.
Last night played the entire first half.
And I have no problem with Marcus playing the entire first half. I don't think Marcus is going to play the entire first half.
Oh, I don't think he is either, but I wouldn't. I think part of it depends on how it goes. If you're being productive and if you're moving the ball and if all those things are working, then I think, you can cut it short. But if it's not, you need to get some work now.
So, again, a caller called into the midday show today and put me on the list because he said that I always give Mariota a pass. And I don't think that that's true. Like, I think I call it exactly how it is with Mariota. So, like, the Arizona game last year, I thought Mariota was terrible. And I was on Mariota for how terrible he played. But then the San Francisco game, I thought he was great. And I felt like he got no credit for how good he was in that game. And my big concern with the Tennessee Titans in 2018 is not Marcus Mariota, but it is everybody around Marcus Mariota. And right now, your starters, your offensive line, for example, can we not agree they took a step back last year from where they were 2 years ago?
The offensive line?
Yes.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I don't know what you saw at practice this week when they played the Bucs, but what I saw was I thought the Bucs, I really thought the Bucs put a lot of pressure on Mariota in practice, and that is a concern to me. So offensive line, they got to pull their share. The wide receivers, I don't know. Even you said yesterday that the wide receivers are a question mark for you, and you said you liked every other position group. But right now there's one guy Mariota seems to like throwing the ball to, and that's Corey Davis. And other than that, the rest is, is Taywan Taylor going to run the right route and catch the ball? Can Tajay Sharp get open or make a big enough difference? Can Nick Williams – against good players when it actually matters, do something, considering the fact that he hasn't done it his entire career? Can Darius Jennings, who's been cut by the Titans seven times, do something that, leads to him not getting cut this time? Those are all big questions. And then Delanie Walker's out, so Jonnu Smith, it's like, can Jonnu Smith get open? Because last year at times he struggled with that. Can Jonnu Smith run the right route? Because at times last year, he struggled with that. And can Jonnu Smith not get a penalty? Because at times last year, he struggled with that. And that doesn't even go to, can he block in the running game? And then we don't know about the running backs. So again, my whole thing about the offense for the Titans in 2018 is everybody makes it to be about Mariota, but I feel like it's everybody around Mariota as much as it is Mariota, but nobody wants to talk about everybody around Mariota. They just want to talk about Mariota. So then they hear me say something like I'm saying right now, and it's like, Jared is a Mariota homer. No, I'm just trying to be realistic right now, and what the Titans are working with is concerning.
Well, yeah, I mean, the running backs, I think we know what we have at running backs. And if Delaney's in there, I think we know what we have at tight ends.
Big
I mean,
if right there, though. If Delaney's in there, we don't know what the deal with Delaney is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think we have to feel pretty good about Delaney. I mean, he's a pretty durable guy. So if he misses a little bit of time, I'm not going to worry about that. But the question is the receivers.
And the line.
The positive about the receivers is that you know on an individual basis there's a group of guys there that can play. I mean, you know if Davis is on the field, he can play. You know if Matthews is on the field, he can play. You know if Sharp is on the field, he can play.
Sharp, you know, can he play?
40 receptions as a rookie.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like a lot of that was just like, eh. You know, I never felt like the Titans won a game because of Tajay
you're
Sharp.
You're in love with Mr. Six Receptions a Year. And this guy had 40 as a rookie. So I would say if you're in love with Mr. Six Receptions, you ought to be madly, passionately in love with Tajay Sharp.
Can you remember, other than the touchdown against Green Bay, can you remember one big catch Tajay Sharp made his rookie year?
How can you remember one that Nick Williams had made?
Nick Williams made a big catch last week.
In regular season.
I mean, how the heck am I? I don't watch those games.
Yeah, that's. I mean, he has. It's so. I mean, I think you know what those guys are individually. Now you need to put them all together, and if you can do that, then you know you've got a chance.
And you have no concern about the offensive line.
The offensive line will bounce back. I'm convinced of that.
I don't. Practice was so, and I know you love the Bucs' defensive line, but I mean Mariota on that 2 minute, he was running for his life. Yeah, and I told you about there's rhythm running with him, and there's comfort, and there's uncomfortable running with him, and it was the uncomfortable kind of running.
Yeah, but again, I mean that's a drill. That's what I'm saying. That's why we need to get into a game. Get into a game where, you know, you have to stop the run. Because in those practices, you don't have to stop the run. You know, everything they do is pass rush. Fine, let's rush it. What are we worried about? We can't hit the running back anyway. You can't tackle him. So what's the big deal? And so I think you get a bad look at what's really going on unless you can add the fact that they can run. Now, tomorrow night, they will run. And they will have to tackle a 250-pound back. And if they're rushing upfield, that 250-pound back will gash them.
So if you're a Titans fan, you actually want to see Mariota play less tomorrow because then that means that they've done what they need to do and can hit the showers and call it a night, as opposed to if they're in there longer, which the fans would rather see Mariota stay in there longer just because we want to see Mariota. But ultimately, the Titans fans are better off seeing Mariota play less tomorrow night than they would be seeing him play longer.
Right. That probably means they've been effective. If he plays less.
So it'd be good for the bet for Mariota to play more.
Bet.
If you're hammering Tampa.
I am not worried about the bet.
Like I am. I am hammering Tampa. Again, Tampa is going to win tomorrow. There's no doubt in my mind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win the preseason game tomorrow. Again, so Ian, so the way that we have this set is this year we're going to keep track of the times I call something, as in I'm calling it, or the guarantees. Now, this is a calling it. So this is our first calling it of the year. And this is what we'll do at the end of the year is we will take our calling it's for both football and hockey and our guarantees for both football and hockey, and we will add it up. I think guarantees need to be above 90%, and I think calling it's need to be 75%.
Oh, You haven't gotten 3 out of 4 right in your entire life.
Well, we're going to keep track of it this year.
This is, I don't play this game.
We will keep track of it this year.
Yeah, you can keep track.
We will keep track.
That's great.
And if I don't get that combined, whatever it is, then I'll have to do something like give up sugar for a month or something like that. We'll figure it out. Anywho, this is the first of the season, and I am calling it Bucks Win Tomorrow. Corey Curtis will be on the call on News 2. He'll be on the sidelines. We'll get Corey's thoughts on the game and on the Titans. We'll do that coming up next live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. MTSU's athletic department is hosting its annual Fan Day on Sunday, August 19th, inside of Floyd Stadium from 2 to 4 p.m. The event is free and open to the public, so come on out and meet the players and enjoy the inflatables, giveaways, autographs, and photo sessions, along with free food and drinks. For more information, head to thegamenashville.com under the events tab. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. So today, the Midday Show has You Just Made the List at noon every Friday, and I put Ryan Porth on the list, and he needed to be put on the list because yesterday I was telling Ryan about how I was going to the Sounds game. And Ryan, you know, we were talking about it, but as I was leaving the Sounds game last night, me and my friends ran into Ryan and his friends. Mm-hmm. So Ryan was at the Sounds game and didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, had Ryan not made my list, I'll tell you who else was going to be second. Floyd Reese.
What did I do?
Yesterday, we went over each position group of the Titans, and you liked every position group. You had 3 choices, like, don't like, and question mark. And Floyd Reese said he liked every position group on the Titans except for wide receivers, which he gave a question mark to. That, to me, was just a little too close to the heart for me. It's a little too local homer.
Bobo.
Of you for me.
Bobo-ism.
It was a total Bobo. I just unbelievable. So anywho, the Titans take on the Bucks, and I've seen some concerning things at practice when they took on the Bucks, and I'm kind of interested to see how that looks tomorrow night in the game, which of course is on News 2 tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Corey Curtis will be on the call with News 2, and he joins us now on the show. Corey, what have you gotten out of practice from the Bucks that you're looking forward to in the game tomorrow?
Well, I think the Bucks challenged them, number one. And so I think the Titans, you know, they had to look in the mirror and realize that they had some work to do. So I think it was a benefit from that, absolutely. But I'm looking at the receiver matchups on both sides of the field in this one. I want to see what Corey Davis can do in a game on the Titans side. I want to see if, you know, Nick Williams can build on what he's been doing, because he's going to have to if he's going to make this team. And I want to see Tajay Sharp, you know, as he comes back. He did catch a big touchdown against Indianapolis his rookie year on a nice play-action pass, and he did have a big game in San Diego as the Titans tried to rally from being way down. He has played big for this football team, but he hasn't played in a year, so we've got to see that. And then on the other side, the challenge for the Titans DBs is great with Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, and this is a chance to respond to last week for those guys. So I'm looking at those DB wide receiver matchups on both sides of the ball.
At practice, one of my takeaways yesterday was I'm a little concerned with how I felt the Bucks' defensive line penetrated the Titans' offensive line. What did you see in Green Bay, and what did you see in the practices with the Bucks?
Well, you know, I mean, everything is so vanilla now in these games. You know, it's man on man, and when you see Jason Pierre-Paul come in, look, I'll put it this way: when practice ended on Wednesday, Taylor Lewan, who is normally very amenable to doing interviews, took one look at us and did a U-turn and headed the other direction and left.
Oh.
He wasn't happy. He was not happy. And then I went out and watched him Thursday, and I know he didn't win every battle, but when they went full team, first 3 or 4 plays, he took it to him, and he talked about it. So those guys are going to be ready and waiting for each other on Saturday night. Look, you want to be challenged this time of the year because that's what's going to make you get better. I asked Corey Davis that very question. Were the defeats in practice more valuable than the victories? And he said, absolutely. I come out here every day with the attitude that I am going to work so hard that eventually I'm going to put myself in position to fail at something, because that's when I get better. because I don't want to repeat that.
Corey, after we saw the 2 days of practice, now getting ready for the game, what did you see the 2 days in practice that you either want to continue, that is something that we did well, or that you want to see corrected, something that maybe didn't go so well?
Well, I mean, I liked what I saw from Corey Davis. The confidence, the work, the effort. I think those things were all, you know, very good from him. And again, you know, with the DBs, they struggled a little bit that first day, especially, you know, with those Bucs receivers. And, you know, I don't think we're necessarily seeing the Titans play the defense completely like we're going to see it in the regular season, but they've got to be physical. I mean, Mike Evans is a big physical guy, and they've got to be ready to go physical with him. And I know Logan Ryan is a guy who's ready to do that. And then you saw Adoree Jackson step it up the next day. What, do you have 3 interceptions yesterday?
And a couple of backflips.
Yeah, and I want to see him take that to the game field because he had 0 interceptions last year. So I want to see that elevation from Adoree continue on the game field Saturday night.
Whose do you see when you look at the safety position? We know Byard's going to be the one. Do you see Vaccaro being the other guy?
You know, Floyd, I wish I could tell you I was smart enough to tell you Terrell, Vaccaro, which one should be out there, which one shouldn't. I just know this. Vaccaro's a first-round player, and he's played a ton of football the last few years. That puts him in the lead to me, but I'm going to leave the talent evaluators to tell you which one is actually going to be out there because for me to be able to say I've seen enough of either of these guys to make that call, I can't do it at this point.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest. He'll be on the sidelines for tomorrow night's Titans-Bucks game. What is the number one thing that you'd like to see out of the Tennessee Titans tomorrow?
The number one thing I'd like to see out of the Tennessee Titans? Well, the number one thing is always the same number one thing. Keep Marcus Mariota healthy because that's the most important thing they're going to do this year. You know, I think you've got to break it up on both sides of the ball because you guys know the score doesn't mean much in this football game. I thought Marcus looked really comfortable in that one drive at Green Bay. When this game is over and he plays 3 or 4 drives, I want to still feel like he and the offense were as comfortable doing what they were doing in that game when this one is over. Because you remember last year in the Jets game, they looked awful and they didn't look comfortable and they couldn't run the football. And then they come out the next week and we're like, well, they'll get that fixed. And they didn't get it fixed and it was a struggle all season long, right? I mean, that running game was really inconsistent all year long. So I want to see him consistently, you know, build on that. And then defensively, I've got my eyes on Harold Landry. I saw him do it against the backup tackles for Green Bay. I want to see him do it against the starting tackles for Tampa. Take that game to the next level and be a difference maker.
We all know, you know, backup quarterbacks and what they are and who they are and what to expect. After Marcus with Gabbard and Falk, where are you on your concern o-meter?
I'll put it to you this way. I'll put another 100 on top of Jarrett's 1,000 because Gabbard is going to play a lot tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Ah, okay.
So you like how I am hammering that Tampa's going to win tomorrow.
You know, I mean, Gabbard struggled so much. And, you know, you go and you watch him in practice, and you see him make throws, and he certainly looks the part, but then there's just way too many times when he just looks uncomfortable and unsure. Not all backups are created equal. Ryan Fitzpatrick, for all of his flaws, is a backup who can come in and win football games.
Mm-hmm.
I am not confident at this point from what I've seen that Blaine is going to be that guy for the Titans. But the preseason is all about taking the next step. And maybe tomorrow night he greases the wheel a little bit, things speed up for him, and he looks better because he needs to at this point. Because if he's going to have the confidence of those other guys on offense, he needs to do better than he did in Green Bay.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey?
Tajae Sharp.
My
man. Tajae Sharp. No, you know what? I like Tajae. I don't know if he's a one. He's not a one, and I don't know if he's a two, but he's going to help the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know if Nick Williams is going to make this team or not, but all I know is this. I watched him work some DBs on Thursday. And that little guy can play for me anytime because I just love guys who don't look the part but are the part. And so far he's been the part for the Titans.
Corey, I tried to tell Floyd, because I was standing with you at practice on Thursday.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate you being on the show.
I tried to tell him, I go, Marcus, with Delaney out and Rishard Matthews out, Marcus was, where's Davis number one? Where's Nick Williams number two? And he was
throwing the ball to Nick.
I know, I get it that everybody sits there and says, and by everybody I mean Floyd, Floyd sits there and says, you know, well, Nick Williams hasn't caught this many balls. And Nick Williams,
he's absolutely right. And when you talk to Titans coaches, they kind of give you the feeling that they think he's just a guy. He may be just a guy, but he's the only other guy who's catching balls. And he's the only other guy who I see who can get open on his own. Now, that could be who he's playing against. I don't know. That's what's got to show itself in these preseason games. Is it a mirage or is it reality? Because as Floyd's saying, the first 4 or 5 years of his career would show you that it's a mirage. But we've seen guys develop over time, and maybe he's in the right situation now. I don't know. If you're the Titans, you hope he's not, because if he's not, you hope to have Matthews. You hope to have Sharp. You hope to have – these are supposed to be the guys. If you're relying on Nick Williams, you're relying on option five.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I mean, you're not going to win a lot if you're relying on Nick Williams. I think that they do – I think Marcus trusts him, and that is the one thing that I can't say about some of these other guys right now.
That's the word that's come up with when I've talked to Marcus and with Mike Vrabel today – is that developing trust with Nick Williams to be in the right place at the right time and to catch the football.
I love it. Corey Curtis, News 2. We will see you on the sidelines tomorrow night, Titans Buccaneers on News 2. Corey, we'll see you then.
That's right.
Thanks, Corey.
Great game, guys. Thanks.
Corey Curtis, News 2, and we will see him tomorrow night on the broadcast. What did you think about what he said about little Nick Williams there, the great Nick Williams? What did you think about that?
Super.
Will you say that he's going to make the team yet?
No.
I don't think Floyd thinks Nick Williams is going to make the team until Nick Williams makes the team. This is the one thing that I am ecstatic about the second preseason game being over with, other than the $4,800 that I'm going to have. But the thing that I am absolutely ecstatic about is that next week we get to do Floyd's first 53-man roster. And I wonder who's going to make it. And I would be shocked if he puts Nick Williams on his 53-man roster. And I would be shocked if Nick Williams doesn't make the 53-man roster. So there you have it.
You'll be shocked if he doesn't make it?
Shocked if he doesn't make it.
Shocked?
If he does not make the roster. He will make the roster.
But you said shocked.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
Right.
Am I supposed to not be shocked if he doesn't?
I think you probably need to start preparing yourself a little bit.
If he doesn't make the roster and they keep some bum like Harry Douglas instead.
He is Harry Douglas. What are you talking about?
He is not Harry Douglas.
He is Harry Douglas.
He is not Harry Douglas.
The only reason he's here is because he played for Malarkey and...
LaFleur.
I'm saying same thing. Yeah,
I mean, same deal. He's played for Malarkey and
he played for him before. That's the only reason he's here.
I stand by what I said.
Harry.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next, I have a theory. There's a big sports story that's out, but I have a theory about the city of Nashville and how they feel about this big sports story that just came out. We'll get to that coming up next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
I think they're committing theft. That's my opinion. Because you mentioned in the earlier segment, you can either work really, really hard and collect $40 million a year from the SEC network and all that other stuff and try to win really hard and spend even more, or you can not care and still make $40 million a year. To me, that's theft. I think being a part of a conference means that you will give your best effort based on the resources that you have available. And Vandy's aren't as big resources as Alabama. They don't put 110,000 people in the stadium every game. It costs more to go here. Scholarships are more expensive. Mm-hmm. So it's not apples to apples, right? But the concept of giving your very best effort, I think you owe that to the other people of the conference, other members of the conference.
Trevor Maddich. So the Tennessean has been all over Vanderbilt for what, the last 2 weeks or so?
Been a while.
So they've been all over him, whether it's an Adam Sparks, you know, first Adam Sparks came out with a story, then Retro with a column, then Adam Sparks with another story, then Retro with a column, and apparently Vanderbilt finally at least kind of said something. You ready for this?
Yeah, I can't wait.
On Friday, Vanderbilt released a statement on its university website and shared it on Twitter. Quote, and by the way, it was all a bunch of yada, 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 grade point averages, we care about this, whatever. But then it finally got down to the basics, which was, quote, all of this achievement is supported by a loyal and dedicated fan base that is critical to our overall success. We will continue to invest in our student athletes, and as we contemplate a capital campaign for the university, athletics will be, quote, a significant part and will include efforts to raise funds for improvement to athletic programs and facilities, including the football stadium. So what do you think about that?
Not much.
Okay, here's my theory. So the Tennessean is treating this like it's a big story. And yesterday I told this to Joe Rexroad, and we kind of had a disagreement, which if you know the relationship between Joe and I, we disagree quite often, almost as much as me and Floyd disagree. And so I said to Joe, I go, the problem is the Tennessean keeps writing about this, and it is a big deal, or at least it should be a big deal, except I'm just convinced the people of this town just don't care that much. If you were to pull every person in Nashville, I think they'd say, who cares? It's Vandy. Now, that is the biggest problem I think Vanderbilt has, is that everybody around town is, who cares? But the Tennessean keeps making this a big story, like, look at what we've got on Vandy. Look at what Vandy's done. Look at what Vandy won't do. Why won't Vandy talk? We have Vandy. And I'm just convinced that nobody cares. I shouldn't say nobody cares. I think there's a small fraction of people that are Vanderbilt fans, and I think they do care. I think the general population of the city does not care one iota. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced it's just, we have a big story. Vandy doesn't care about sports. And the rest of the city's like, well, no duh, Vandy doesn't care about sports. So the Tennessean's doing a great job for this. So I'm not knocking the Tennessean on the Vandy story. I'm just convinced that not enough people care for it to actually matter.
Well, and they've caused that. I mean, I think you're probably absolutely right. And the reason is, if they're looking for a reason, is they've caused that. So, I mean, they're kind of getting what they wanted indirectly.
I feel like it behooves us to not talk Vandy. Like, if we were to talk about the Titans' offensive line in tomorrow's preseason game against the Bucks, I think more people would care than care about this conversation, which is a huge conversation. But I just don't think Vandy has enough fans for people to care. And I hate to say it like that.
Well, but it's just like that thing, that whatever that press release or whatever that thing was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about this the other day. And you know, we were talking about, well, why haven't they responded? Why haven't they? And I said, when they respond, it's going to be something that is just so general, it will be meaningless, which is what that is in my mind. Yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to, you know, raise these funds, and we're going to do, and athletics will be a significant part of that. What the hell does that mean? You know? I mean, to me, that just doesn't mean anything.
So you don't think Vanderbilt's statement means anything?
No.
To anything?
No. It's kind of like you and your betting, or Bobby and his beating Alabama. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, it's just talk. Chatter, chatter, chatter.
I don't even think it's talk. I think it's like Vandy went out of their way to completely be as unspecific as they could be in terms of what they actually plan on
there's
doing.
There's something there now.
It's like, hey, we got a George Foreman grill at the hot dog stand, so we made an improvement to the football facility. Geesh, get off our behinds. What's lean, mean grilling machine? $39.95 at your local Kroger. I think that is, you
there
know,
you go.
Hey, they've improved their football stadium.
You get those hamburgers faster than ever.
I told Joe Rexroad yesterday, because Joe was talking about it. I said, Joe, nobody cares. Like, I do not think the city of Nashville cares whether or not. Now, I think there are Vandy fans who do care that are like, that are upset, especially at Nick Zeppos. Now, again, I maintain my original theory that I know Nick Zeppos does care. But I do think that's how a certain pocket of the Vandy fans feel, like they are really upset about this, or they're using it as like a movement. But then Joe told me that I guess all the people clicking, that a lot of people are clicking the story about Vandy. So then that would mean that he thinks that people do care about Vandy. Do you think people in this city actually care about this Tennessean, you know, 8-part series story about Vandy?
Well, I would first of all like to congratulate the Tennessean for
good reporting.
For good report and for trying to get something going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're trying to get this thing off of, you know, high ground. And it just
the local newspaper should, you know, in general, like, you know, the SEC team in town should matter enough for the local newspaper to be detailing a story like this.
And so, I mean, I want to congratulate them. But I my faith in Vanderbilt is waning significantly. I just don't.
Did you have any?
Maybe I did at a point in time, but it's to the point where they just have to prove it to me. You know, yeah, if you're going to do all okay, when you know, let me see it. And until that happens, it just is kind of meaningless.
I stand by what I said in February or March or whenever the men's basketball team got housed by, I think it was Georgia in the SEC basketball tournament that ended their season. In my lifetime, Vandy's never been more relevant in this town. And I think some of this stuff might be too little too late. Like, it might be to the point where, look, we've already moved on. We've moved on to hockey. We've moved on to soccer. We've moved on to, you know, other SEC teams. We've moved on as a town to everything else. Where in 1971, this would be a huge story.
And the sad part is, at a point in time, I mean, hopefully in the very near future, Vandy is going to want to be a part of that. Vandy's going to see what's going on in this city, and they're going to say, you know, how did we miss that train? I mean, now that we've got professional soccer and we've got, you know, the Preds and the Titans and the, you know, AAA, we've got all these things going, and Vandy is, you know, the same as it was in 1981.
So, I mean, that's the question I have for the callers, and we'll get to those at 615-737-1025, which is the phone number, 615-737-1025. And that is, I just don't think enough people here care. Like, I am sorry, Vandy, and I, you know, again, the Tennessean, I am not knocking the Tennessean's reporting, because the Tennessean should report on the SEC team in town. I just don't think the people who live in the town care enough about the SEC team in the town for it to actually be a needle-moving conversation. And that's just the way I feel about it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls. Plus, the dumbest thing in college football you could ever do happened today. And I am so embarrassed. We'll get to that coming up next as well. On a Fireball Hot Take Friday, it's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What does Vanderbilt football need that maybe it doesn't have right now?
Well, you know, for us, man, we have all the internal pieces, you know, man, that we need. And really, at this time of year, I mean, you really can't worry about the things that you don't have. But as I forecast out, we need a stadium. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Okay, I know people have been vocal about what that looks like. Like, for me, I know in the future, Vanderbilt football needs a stadium. Mm-hmm. And that's got to come.
That was Derek Mason on our show at SEC Media Days. Again, the Tennessean has released a series of articles and columns over the last 2 weeks, just kind of ripping Vanderbilt's administration and diving into how little they care about sports. And I give the Tennessean a lot of credit for doing their job. I'm just sitting here today to tell you, I'm just not sure how many people in Nashville actually care. But I said I'd take your calls, and it's Fireball Hot Take Friday, so we'll do that. We start with Scott, who's up next at 615-737-1025. Scott, you go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Just wanted to comment I think it's unfounded that Vanderbilt doesn't care about sports when you look at what the improvements they've made to the baseball facility, as well as the success they've had with a lot of the secondary sports. I mean, really, just because football is not the biggest priority because we're not going to win doesn't necessarily mean we don't care about the student-athletes and about sports in general.
Because they made $12 million in almost basically all donations Tim Corbin went and got himself means that you think that the school cares about baseball or cares about sports?
I mean, I just think you can't make the blanket statement that they don't care about any of the sports. there just because they don't.
I kind of feel like you can.
I mean, we can agree to disagree on that.
But why do you think I can't say that?
Well, I mean, just because there's been success in a lot of the other secondary sports.
I'm not saying that they're not good. I mean, I think for Vanderbilt to win 6 games in football should be a crowning achievement when you consider how much money all the other schools are spending on their football team. But again, I don't. Where is the effort from Vanderbilt?
I mean, that's a fair point. The marketing department's not great. And yeah, I mean, it is a fair point. But I mean, just based on some success in other sports, I just feel like they're paying more attention to that than they are to football and basketball.
That's probably a bad idea if you're an SEC school. Thank you for the call, Scott.
Yeah. he's probably right.
I don't think they're paying more attention to the other sports. I just think they're paying the same amount of attention that everybody
it's
pays.
It's easy
to
when you. You know, you win the national championship in bowling. That's fine. Okay, we're going to go to the Brentwood Lanes, and that's where we'll practice. Why? Well, we don't have a place to practice here. We'll have all our games at the Brentwood Lanes.
Sorry to Sophia's 8th birthday party. Yeah, you guys got to move Vanderbilt in.
Great. So we made a $1,500 investment. We brought 6 new bowling balls. Way to go, guys. This is the SEC. Vandy's part of the SEC. Golly.
Plus, I've told everybody the story of that women's basketball coach. That program is a dumpster fire right now. A dumpster fire.
Wow.
And they've hired a coach who's got no idea what she's doing, and they got beat by 40 last year by Belmont. No offense to Belmont, but 40 points to Belmont. You should lose to Belmont by 40 in anything. In any, I don't even know. Like, there's nothing. There's not one thing.
It's unbelievable.
40.
Yeah.
40.
And in basketball, you know,
and
which
that's
is
women's basketball, right? Yeah. You know, whatever. Like, and if you're to say, well, Vandy cares about the other sports, they just don't care about football. Well, apparently that's not as accurate in that regard because I just, again, like, this is the thing about Vandy. If you want to matter in this city, you have to act like you matter in this city.
Yeah, well, yeah. What do we say? We the nickname we give Nashville is
the Can Do Town.
Can Do Town. And then there's Vandy.
Well, they're not can do. They just won't do.
Yeah, I mean that's it. We can do, and we want to, and we will. And then there's Vandy saying, "Well, not so fast, boys."
You remember the. You know the Boston radio show we talk about all the time, Felder and Matt. Yeah. I listen to a lot. They have their show on Fridays is called Agenda Free Friday, where they literally just do open phones for the whole show, and it's basically, you know, Steve in the car with a Red Sox thought. What's up, Steve? And then Steve talks, and they talk to the Red Sox, and then Drew on Tom Brady, and then so that's how they do it. Well, I remember one day a couple years ago, I was listening to that show, and he was like, okay, I'm going to take these 2 calls, even though I don't think I should, but Scott is up next on Boston College. Go ahead, Scott. And he's like, "You know, why don't you guys ever talk Boston College?" He's like, "Because nobody cares." And I feel like with this town, the way it's becoming, I feel like Vandy might not be terrible at football one year. And people are going to be like, "Why do you guys not talk Vandy?" And it's going to be like, "All right, I'm going to go to this call on Vandy, but don't make me regret going to this call on Vandy." And that's the point where they're getting to. Matt is up next on Vanderbilt. Thank you for calling. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Personally, this may be unpopular, but so be it. I think Vandy should get rid of the football program and focus on men's basketball because I think that's where we're making traction with Darius Garland.
You can't play in the SEC without a football program.
And I think we do like Villanova does, and we're out of, you know, football in Division One. Because honestly, Vanderbilt's considered more of a joke because we have a joke football program.
Vanderbilt, see, this is the thing that people forget about Vanderbilt's football program. They're not that bad. Thank you, Matt. They're really not that bad. You know, like 5-7 and 6-6, Arkansas is putting $200 million into their program, and they're getting the same results.
I just don't, I mean, I don't think the people at Vandy really understand what is going on around them. You know, the people they're competing with and what they're doing. And I mean, it's like they're in this little cocoon and they're going to live their world. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But it's hard. It's hard if you do that to compete with all these other places. And, you know, at some point in time, again, I don't – if I was a member of the SEC, I would not be happy. You know, they're getting the same $40 million I'm getting. And what have they done to help us?
No, the SEC – the members of the SEC love it. Like, they're looking at it like, yeah, we know that's a win.
Well, yeah, but it's cost them $40 million. I mean, what have they done to help the SEC?
They give the – there's a proud academic school in the conference.
Okay.
So there's a little credibility there for whatever that's worth.
Okay.
They give their fan bases a game to go to in Nashville.
That's a better answer right there.
Will is up next on Vandy on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Good. Hey, I agree with you, Jared. I don't really think a whole lot of people care, but about myself, I'm a pretty big Vandy fan. And, you know, I think Vandy as a whole, as a university, is more concerned about their academics than they are about the athletic program. And, you know, I think y'all were just now mentioning, talking about what Vandy brings to the SEC. I think he's exactly right. I think they bring a high-level academic institution to the SEC. And they're bringing the GPA of the student athletes up.
Bringing the GPA of the entire SEC up? Like, if Alabama
not.
Is easier, for example, if Alabama is easier than Vanderbilt, and I don't know if Alabama is easier or not. I know that when I was applying to schools 10 years ago, Alabama was much easier, but that was before Nick Saban. But if Alabama is easier, then shouldn't those players that are not as smart as the Vandy players get the same GPA?
Well, I would think so. But, I mean, I'm talking about the rest of the university, and I don't know how much that plays in if they just factor in just the student-athletes or if they take university as a whole. But
theory, Will, and I appreciate your call. This is my theory on, like, the Cincinnati Bengals. If the NFL were to redo it and just say, okay, we're taking everybody's franchise and you have to reapply to have an NFL franchise – I don't think Cincinnati would get an NFL team. I just don't think that city matters enough. Like, I don't think there's a reason for the NFL to want to have a team in Cincinnati. And I kind of feel like Vandy's the same way, except I'm way more sure of this, that if the SEC were to, like, redo membership and were to take 14 teams of their choice, Vandy is not getting into the SEC in a redone SEC.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't, and I understand, and we get this call all the time where Vandy cares more about academics, and we understand that.
But the presidents of all these schools care more about academics than they do
athletics. Every school. I mean, you know what? We want to make fun of some of these degrees, but I'm going to tell you, you take University of Georgia graduate and tell him his degree's not very important. I mean, he'll fight you for it. Same thing with a lot of places. And I don't think... We kind of, it seems like it's mutually exclusive. If you're going to be good at academics, you can't be good at football. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Now, if you're going to be good at academics and not care about football, then right. You're not going to be. But you only have to go to Stanford, go to Northwestern, go to all these other schools that are every bit the academics that Vandy is.
Duke basketball.
Every bit, yeah. Duke, every bit the academics that Vandy. And they've got pretty good programs. And we're not asking to win a national championship. It's not like we're saying, hey, you know what? If you guys don't win something big. No, just be respectable. Just compete. Just care.
It's like, that's how I feel about the Sounds, right? Like, I went to the Sounds game last night. I don't ask the Sounds to go out there and win every Sounds baseball game. I don't ask the Sounds to get good players on the team. I don't ask the Sounds to bring in recognizable baseball players. I ask the Sounds to put an entertaining product out there for the people to go enjoy. Whether it is the baseball, whether it is the bar and right field, whether it is the club level, whether it's the jumpy areas for the kids. Again, I went to the Sounds game last night, had a blast. Sounds lost last night, but I give the Sounds an A+ for my experience last night. That's all I'm asking from Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me something fun. Give me something in this town we could talk about. Give me something that people care about. And I don't know how I feel about Vandy in terms of moving the needle. We talked no Vandy basketball this year. We talked none. Like, the other shows talked it and all that, and we talked none of it. And the reason we kept talking none of it was because I kept looking at all the information and said, people care more about a Preds Tuesday night game against Columbus than they care about Vandy basketball. We talk Vandy basketball, people don't listen. We talk Tuesday night Columbus, everyone's listening to Terry Crisp coming up next. Like, these people love that.
Well,
now,
there was a point in time where I used to say, when people would talk about Vandy, I would say, the only sport that Vandy doesn't compete in is football. I said, everything else they're really, really good in. Well, now that's not even true. You know, now it's kind of like the entire program has dropped off now. And I think you see that across the board. And I'm not a Vandy grad, but I do live here in Nashville, and I do wish we had an SEC school that it would be really fun to go watch compete against SEC competition.
So there's a headline from Deadspin, which is actually criticizing Alabama, but the headline is, you'll never guess what Alabama plans to spend another $600 million on.
Yeah, what, the stadium?
I just literally clicked it. You almost have to respect the University of Alabama for so boldly and doubling down on the extreme inequality that plagues college athletics without even the slightest care for the awful optics of their decadence. Almost. So I guess, yeah, they're spending $600 million upgrades for the football and basketball stadium.
Oh, gee.
There you go.
$600,000. You know what? We spent $10 million in 1981.
615-737-1025. Okay, speaking of Alabama, the single stupidest thing you could do in college football was done today by a very prominent head coach. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we are streaming on the Game Nashville app.